On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we pass through the seven levels of the candy cane forest and through the sea of swirly twirly gumdrops and look for Christian themes in Elf. How is singing to spread Christmas cheer like showing your faith by your works? How can we welcome the kingdom of God and not be a cotton-headed ninny muggins? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 83. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Week number 2 into our Christmas movie holiday-a-thon.
Holiday foray.
Yay! Foray! That's what all the kids say. Foray!
Yay! I love those kids. Do we feed them today?
Always. What did we watch last week?
Oh, good question. Oh, last week we watched
A Christmas Carol
directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Yes.
Starring Jim Carrey, FCC's very own. Gary Oldman.
Yes.
Jim Carrey, FCC's very own Cary Elwes and Robin Wright. And then Jim Carrey.
I didn't even make that connection last week. How did that slip past me?
That's a shame. I don't know. That goes back to FCC 7.
How did you feel about last episode?
Well, like I was going to say, FCC 7 with, what's that Princess Bride movie they were in?
Oh, yeah. What is it called?
I don't know.
The Princess Bride movie.
I don't know. We'll think of
something
it later.
We'll get to it.
But yeah, anyway, I actually did have a little afterthought.
Okay.
About last week's episode, but not necessarily about the movie that we studied and that we talked about, but more of Patron Saint Philip's response that we got from FCC 81.
Oh, right. Okay, fill us in, because I'm confused.
Okay. Well, you know, FCC 81 was viewing movies through Christian lenses, our big, you know, holiday or hoopla special.
Special, yes.
Back before Thanksgiving.
Our apologetic episode, yes.
Yes. And last week, we read Philip's response to it, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about Philip's response while listening to the episode, and then I had just another quick thought. So I'm just going to, you know, if you want to get the full context of it, you know, listen to the episode. But I'll give a brief little summation right here.
All right.
You know, we were discussing, you know, movies that are created by people who don't necessarily share the Christian worldview. And the example we kept going to was the Wachowskis.
Yes.
And, you know, we just happened to stumble upon, or I did, you didn't because you haven't seen it, but Cloud Atlas, the film Cloud Atlas.
Right.
Well, I was kind of using Cloud Atlas as an example of when a movie, you know, accurately portrays a negatively Christian worldview.
Right.
Or, you know, does that make sense?
Yes. I'm tracking with you.
You're tracking with me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Philip had a response to that. He says, a film like Cloud Atlas definitely displays some sinful choices and lifestyles that we should not emulate, but it can also help us to have love and empathy for people who are different than us. And it is important to distinguish between
Important.
Important. Thank you. Yes, sorry. Yes. I apologize.
I'm totally tuned into that right now, and I have realized that almost everybody says that word incorrectly.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Okay.
It is important.
Yes.
To distinguish between liking a character and enjoying the story that is being told with them and approving of all their actions.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's my afterthought. So then the question becomes, is there anything we as Christians can do to make sure that people, that audiences, see the things in films which Christ would either endorse or condemn? Is there anything that we can do to make sure that people see the good things?
Yes. We can be familiar with it.
Well, yeah.
We have to be able to point it out.
right alongside the bad things.
Yes.
Even if it's a 50-50 mixture.
Yeah.
What's something we can do?
Do you mean specifically?
I'm thinking, generally speaking,
you need to be familiar with your Bible.
Yes.
You need to be familiar with truth and justice and the godly way, I should say. To borrow from Superman, but to tweak it just a little bit. Should be so familiar. Hank Canegraff says, be so familiar with the truth. He's the Bible answer man, you know.
Yeah.
Be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit, and this ties into part of my point today, when a counterfeit looms over the horizon, you can spot it right away. So in other words, how are you going to point out the good or the bad if you are not familiar with, you have to be familiar with truth in order to do that.
You could just liken that to bank tellers and bank workers who study what real money looks like.
Yes, counterfeit.
They don't study each and every counterfeit.
No.
They study what the real deal is.
Yes. You only have to be familiar with what the truth is.
That way, when you encounter a counterfeit.
Yes.
When you do that, you know automatically.
Yes. Yes.
But here's the answer I had.
All right. I wasn't tracking with you. Sorry.
I'm just tossing out ideas because I want to continue this discussion because it's important to have.
Important.
And dang it. Important.
Yes.
To have.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus kind of already gives us an answer in one of his, parables.
Great. We love parables here. Lay it on us.
So, say, for example, you got a movie like Cloud Atlas where good things are venerated and bad things are venerated. Jesus says, let them grow together.
Yes! The weeds and the...
The weeds and the wheat.
Yep.
And then
or the wheat and the tares.
The nilt says the wheat and the weeds.
Which it should, because nobody knows what a tare is.
So I don't know. I was just thinking about that the other day, re-listening to the podcast. And I thought, you know what? Jesus says, let them grow together. Let he and his workers deal with separating them out. But we let them grow together.
Well, and us as being workers, we need to be there to separate them, don't we? Don't we need to be there? Don't we need to engaged?
Differentiate.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
To help people.
Yes.
No, you don't want that. That is a weed. Here's some good wheat right here. This is what you want to focus on. That's our privilege as little ambassadors of Christ, little ambassadors of God. He has given us such a blessing in adopting us into his family and then giving us full reign. You have all authority. Go out and be me. Go and be me. Man, awesome. That's the best addendums, afterthoughts, and another thing that we have ever had to date. I do want to throw out that, I was worried about, because I hit my points pretty hard last week, and I felt very strongly, I still do. I'm certainly not going to backpedal. In fact, if I had to do it all over again, I might have hit a little bit harder. But I worry about things like that because, some people, get uptight and just automatically on the defensive. And so I go to my conscience, and that is my dear brother, patron saint, Ron of the Red Oaks. And I said, Ron, because he and I are the same age, and he likes to say, he goes, what vintage are you? Right. Well, I'm 69. He says, I have you beat. I'm the 68 young Padawan. Mm. But anyway, so I go to him, hey, listen to it. Let me know what you think. But see, he and I agree on that aspect. And so he said, man, I wish, more preachers would speak that way. It's a message that we need in the modern American church. Please go back last episode. Episode number 82, and listen to Brendan and I pulling out Christian themes in Robert Zemeckis's A Christmas Carol. Anything else, Brendan?
No, that's it.
What are we talking about this week?
Oh, this week we're talking about 2003's Elf.
Oh, and you talk about a well-mannered frivolity?
Oh, definitely.
If we want to go to the theater?
Oh, sure.
Here we go.
Hey.
Your costume is pretty.
Oh, it's not a costume. I'm an elf.
Oh.
Well, technically I'm a human, but I was raised by elves.
New Line Cinema presents the story of one elf who's coming home for Christmas.
Boy, can't wait to see my dad. We're going to go ice skating and eat sugar plums. It's
sorry.
Now.
I think someone sent you a Christmas gram.
Dad!
We should call security.
Good idea.
I like to whisper, too.
Buddy's experiencing a world he never knew existed.
Buddy's your son.
What am I going to do?
He's certifiably insane.
Discovering what it takes to fit in. And going where no elf has gone before.
What he needs is to be nurtured. Bring him home. Introduce him to Emily and Michael.
How long do you think you'll be with us?
I was thinking, like, forever.
He cannot stay here.
We can't just throw him out in the snow.
He loves the snow. He's told me 15 times.
Ow! Son of a nutcracker!
We can take him.
Where did you say you were from?
This holiday season.
I think you're beautiful, and my tongue swells up when I am around you.
Get ready.
I plan out our whole day. I thought maybe we could make gingerbread houses and maybe even hold hands.
For a tall tale.
How are we going to get the star on top?
Of elfish proportions.
I got it.
Will Ferrell.
Okay, people, Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
I know him. I know him.
Elf.
Do you remember me?
I do. I didn't recognize you.
I know. I'm in work clothes.
I didn't know you had elves here.
You're hilarious, my friend.
Did you have to borrow a reindeer to get down here?
Hey, you're feeling strong, my friend. Call me Elf one more time.
He's an angry elf. Look at you. Ow. Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
Put that down.
Brendan, I've seen this movie so many times. This is one of our, you know, family traditional Christmas time movies.
Yeah.
So watch it every year. But I remember the first time watching, I didn't see it at the theater, and this was released November of 2003. But the first time that I watched it, it actually took me a couple years to be able to sit through this movie, because not because it's a bad movie, but because I get so embarrassed. I don't know what that effect is, but it that happens to my son as well. There are movies that we just get so embarrassed. They're so silly and so over the top.
Oh, as in like, oh,
yes.
Why would anyone?
Oh, yeah, I'm embarrassed for you.
I don't want to be caught watching this.
I'm embarrassed for you, Will Ferrell, even though you're getting paid a whole lot of money to do this, and you like to do this kind of comedy. He loves embarrassing himself.
The physical shtick.
Yes, yeah. But, you know, it's it's more than that. Now, he pushes the envelope on plenty of movies. I can't say, you know, hands down, go watch any Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah, I can't say that.
But the ones that you can watch, he's just an absolute joy to watch. What are some of your early memories of this film?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Michael. I didn't catch it in theaters either.
Okay.
And I never really saw it in its entirety.
Really? Until this, for this show?
Until this
week. Why?
Well, just because I would always catch it on, you know, on TV after I had already missed like a good 30 or 40 minutes of it.
But so you have never been compelled to sit down and watch the whole thing. Okay, so since you were forced to for this very episode, are you glad that you watched the entire thing? Or are you just...
I'm glad that I finally got it out of the way.
Oh, wow. That's kind of like the same response that you had about Star Wars.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Now, I'm not saying that I didn't enjoy it.
Okay.
I did enjoy it. It was one of those things where I was expecting one thing. And in retrospect, I probably should have known going into it that it was, you know, Will Ferrell getting... Here's my thing about Will Ferrell. Yes, physical stick. Yes, physical comedy. Getting beat up by
Peter Dinklage.
No, not just that.
Okay,
that was actually funny. Like, I was enjoying that.
Okay,
but the Santa fight when he's at the mall, when he's in Gimbals or Kimbles?
Yeah, Gimbles.
Did they had to change the name for is it Gimbles?
Yes,
in Gimbles. Getting in the Santa fight with that guy and just slamming around all the merchandise. I thought, this is Will Ferrell. Nothing's changed.
Falling on the Lego pieces. Okay.
Million to one shot, Doc.
They say that Will Ferrell, these are the from the trivia items on IMDb.
Okay.
So you don't know. Who knows who added these? But Will Ferrell suffered from headaches throughout filming as he had to actually eat all of the sugar and all the sugar-infested foodstuffs in the Elf food pyramid on camera.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. All that syrup on spaghetti and things like that?
I love syrup in my coffee. Poor guy.
Oh, hey, we don't have to ever cover A Christmas Story on FCC.
Oh,
do you know why?
No.
Because Peter Billingsley, who starred as Ralphie Parker, is the elf Ming Ming. You're not a cotton-headed ninny muggins. Buddy.
Oh, that's nice.
So we now
that means that when we cover it next year,
which we
he'll already be FCC's very own Peter Billingsley.
Oh no.
Oh, that's so funny.
Well, the outside, getting back to Gimbel's, the outside of Gimbel's is a digitally altered view of the 34th Street Macy's.
That's what I thought.
You know, the same one from Miracle on 34th
mm-hmm.
Street. Gimbel's was Macy's main competition, but is now closed. So that's a neat throwback. I love when movies do things like that. There's a whole lot of things. In fact, all of Christmasland with the Arctic Puffin and, you know, the Walrus and all those, they are all, you know, Jon Favreau, Iron Man director fame, basically said, go back and watch the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer claymation specials and copy it. I want everything to look like that. Even the elf costumes and things are based on that.
Yeah, claymation. Well, even Sam the Snowman.
Well, it's actually Leon.
Leon, dang, yeah, so sorry.
Played it was by Sam. Leon Redbone, the singer.
Yeah. Well, I thought his name was Sam the Snowman.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
You may have thought that.
I
believe that you thought that. All right. Okay. There's a lot of great trivia regarding this movie. Another one is Will Ferrell's... says Sam. I don't know why it says Sam.
Sam the Snowman.
No, but not in this movie. It's Leon.
Oh,
that's why Santa says.
Sorry. Yeah, I know he calls
him. Leon hasn't been anywhere. He hasn't got any feet.
He hasn't been to New York. Yeah. He doesn't have any feet. Can we just get to
shout outs.
Ed Asner.
Yeah. The perfect Santa Claus.
Oh, I'm getting too old for this.
But he played a great Santa.
Santa. He did.
Yes.
He did.
You know, the magic and the sincerity and all of that came through along with a little bit of some curmudgeon-like tendencies, and I like all that. Okay, legendary Bob Newhart as Papa Elf.
Papa Elf, 490 years old.
Yes. He designed that engine back in the 60s.
He did.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, because of how this movie played out, and I didn't have time to look this up, and I do have some old Bob Newhart albums, comedy albums from the 60s.
Yeah.
I wonder if that somehow works into one of his skits. He had great skits, and they were like one man, you know, almost like, you know, him on the phone, but there was nobody else on the, you know, mm-hmm. you didn't hear who else was on the other side. And, you know, Bob Newhart is a genius comedian. And so I was wondering when he said that, because his height, the height of his career is, or his stand-up comedy was in the 60s, the early 60s.
Hmm.
So I was wondering, maybe another listener knows that, when he made the reference to creating that image back in the 60s, if that plays into one of his stand-up bits, which it very well could be.
Maybe so.
Yeah. James Caan.
Hey.
As Walter Hobbs.
Yeah.
I love James Caan, and even however old he is right now, he looks like he could beat the snot out of you.
Is he now, because of this movie, FCC's very own?
Yeah, I believe so.
I feel like.
I can't recall him. I would have pointed it out because, you know, he's a great actor. He's been around forever. I mean, The Godfather, Misery.
Misery, yeah.
Oh, man. I need to go back and watch Misery.
Should we put that on for next year's Halloween run?
Misery? Oh.
Just for a good little chill movie?
Yeah.
Just an idea.
Add it to Patron St. Philip Presents The List! Oh, that one elicited a cough from me.
That one elicited?
Elicited it. Yes. Important. It's important that we enunciate when saying the word important.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Our eyes, our own. Mary Steenburgen, who is now going to be, when we do Back to the Future Part 3, she will be FCC's very own. And I just love Mary Steenburgen.
Yep.
I love her. And her character in this, it just, I mean, a caring, nurturing, But isn't going to take any. Oh, no, 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 Walter. I can't stay home with him. I have a budget meeting today. And I just, I like the way that she played that off. Zooey Deschanel. I don't know anything about this.
First, hit the mulligan button. Next, we got Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, Deschanel. Sorry.
No, Deschanel.
Deschanel? Yes. Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel.
Yes.
That's how you say
it? Yes.
It's kind of like Scottish or something. Like, it sounds like you're. It's a question.
Don't worry.
Zooey Deschanel. Speak
Zooey
Scottish.
Zooey Deschanel?
Yeah. Zooey Deschanel? I don't know. Anyway. Okay. So, I know everybody loves her, and I know that she performs in a band called Her and Him, or Him
she,
and Her,
and she, and,
she and that guy. Or,
which their Christmas album is top-notch, by the way.
Okay, and I bet it is, because she's jazz-trained and all that stuff. But I haven't ever seen her that I can recall acting in anything else other than this movie, and she's adorable.
She's had a few other, like, independent. She's more like the independent film girl, but now she's on a TV show.
Called Independent Film Girl?
No.
Oh, okay.
Called New Girl.
Okay. New Independent Film Girl.
No, you're stretching.
All right. So anyway, anything else to say about her?
No, I liked her. I always liked Zooey Deschanel.
Peter Dinklage, welcome to the family, sir.
Yes, sir.
Because we aren't covering any Narnia films. We won't get them from that. Mm. Game of Thrones, I've never seen, but that's TV, so that doesn't count.
And even if it did count.
Yeah. I love this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fine actor.
I'm trying to see what else. Oh, that's right. X-Men Days of Future Past. Oh, you haven't seen that yet? You got to get to
it. Who's he in that?
He is the senator that is trying to propose, or that is trying to. No, he's not the senator. Excuse me. He is the lead scientist that is trying to sway the rest of the senators to get this mutant cure out on the market.
Does he always play a bad guy?
Not always. But I
think because he has such a stern look, you know, the way that he carries himself, maybe that could be it. Okay. Because we will probably never watch or cover anything Tenacious D related.
Comcast. Yep. But he's been in other movies, you know, without Jack Black, and without Tenacious D.
Yes.
So hold on, let me click on him for a second.
Well, Kung Fu Panda.
Well,
did he play in Kung Fu Panda? Must have been a bit part. Anyway, Shallow Hal, things like that.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and then his sidekick, Morris, Richter, Andy Richter.
Oh, he was in Wild Hogs. That's where I've seen him from.
Okay.
Never mind. Okay. What? It's one of those. Actually, Michael, you would like that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it like 50s or something?
No. It's, it's got Tim Allen, John Travolta, Martin Lawrence, and William H. Macy as these four guys that go on a motorcycle road trip across country just to, you know, get some stuff out of their systems.
Okay.
And Kyle Gass is hilarious in the movie.
All right.
Okay.
Well, anyway, he's a funny guy.
Andy Richter?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Leon Redbone?
Hey, there's Leon.
As Leon the Snowman.
Yeah.
There you go. In the credits.
I'm telling you, he's Sam the Snowman is obviously a different Snowman.
Okay, we have to give a shout out to Jon Favreau, the director.
Well, of course.
For
slash doctor.
Yeah.
Slash being in his own film.
Yes.
Take some gall, sir. Take some gall.
But it was a great little bit part for him, playing that doctor. And he's just it's just amazing to me that this guy directed Elf and Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know?
I just decided within my heart that anything, any story Jon Favreau decides to tell, I will listen to it.
Yeah.
Just because I think judging from the things that he has produced, the fruit that he has produced.
Yes. He's a fine storyteller.
Yes. He's good in my book. Have we even talked about Will Ferrell yet? A little bit we have.
No, but
are we saving him for last?
FCC.
Have we even talked about FCC's very own Will Ferrell?
No, we have not, except for the opening comments.
Are we saving him for last?
For who else needs to be who needs a shout out?
Oh, I think we've got.
Okay, let's get back to FCC's very own Will Lord Business Ferrell.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what do you think about him as a just as a performer in general?
I think he's good at what he does.
Yeah.
To me, it just seems a lot of different movies he's doing the same thing.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, does he ever venture beyond Will Ferrell?
Not much from what I've seen. Now, then again, I could be wrong.
Yeah. Somebody will let us know if there's something. Oh, well, you obviously haven't seen A, B, or C.
You haven't obviously seen Saturday Night Live. Oh, wait. Yes, I have.
Oh, and I haven't. I talked about him on our episode when we covered the Lego Movie, mm-hmm. but he grew up over the hill from me in Southern California, literally. I mean, I used to drive over to his neck of the woods all the time. He's got you know, a few years on me, but not much. And so he grew up in Irvine, California, and he attributes his whole everything about his life to being bored.
And that makes sense.
Yes. And so he is Will Ferrell because he grew up bored in the suburbs looking for something to do.
Yeah.
His brother was one of the security guards from the Empire State Building. So I thought that was pretty interesting because I'm looking at them and I'm all, it's got to be the tall guy. It can't be the short guy. And the tall guy, he's like nothing like Will. They're nothing alike. Like, you know, he just doesn't have it. Yeah, you know, that's why nobody knows Will Ferrell's brother, or at least I didn't.
Right.
Just watching him in his bit part, he did fine, but you look and go, okay, obviously Will got the talent for performance in the family. But it would be nice to see him, you know, it would be nice to see him take the path of Jim Carrey. And say, why don't you throw, give me something better than that.
I think you, well, I hope that he will eventually.
Well, I have read quotes from him. I believe it was attributed to him that he's pretty happy with what he does. It pays the bills and it's easy.
Yeah.
People pay him big bucks. In fact, one of the trivia things was he turned down 20 something million dollars to do Elf 2. It's like $23 million. We'll give you $23 million if you do a part two. And this was 10 years after, like in 2013, they asked.
Oh, goodness.
And he says, no. To be able to say no to $23 million, he's doing well being Will Ferrell.
Now, I will say, I think the most serious that we've seen him in would be his when he was actually the dad in the Lego movie.
And I enjoyed watching that.
That was a good performance.
Because it was still funny.
Yeah.
But it was more dramatic.
Yes.
More real. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, come on, Will. Cut us some slack. Throw us a bone.
He's got it in him.
Yeah, you do.
He's got it in him.
You do it. Yeah. So, anyway, I think that overall this movie is just a fun movie. Now that I'm able to watch it without being embarrassed because I know everything that comes up, I think the timing is amazing. The soundtrack just absolutely rules. When you got Louis Prima and Frank Sinatra and Etta James, you got some Leon Redbone thrown in there. You got, you know, all this. It's the perfect soundtrack. It's just a fun movie. But like I said, the timing. Okay, when he's walking across the street to go, you know, to Gimbel's or wherever, whatever building, he's dun 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 da 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 dun dun da da da. The taxi hits him.
Sorry.
Or when he's with out on the date with what's her name? Jovi.
Jovi.
Yeah. They're trying to cross the streets. Watch out! The yellow ones don't stop. Fun stuff. Anything else you want to go on before we jump into it?
Oh no, I'm ready.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you up to bat first?
Yeah.
All right. First.
Yes. So
yeah.
So life in the North Pole, at least for the elves, is pretty much centered around three particular rules.
Now, before we learn how to build the latest in extreme graphic chipset processors, let's recite the code of the elves, shall we? Number one,
treat every day like Christmas.
Number two,
there's room for everyone on the nice list.
Number three,
the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Now, let's not mind that misplaced adverb, singing. It should be singing loudly for all to hear, because you're doing something loudly, you're acting loud, you're singing loudly. Let's not mind that, but I do want to focus on the singing loud.
He's picking apart the script.
Yeah, okay. I am. Yeah, that's a
grammar police. You
know, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loudly,
singing loudly
for all to hear.
Yes,
and once you get into New York, that's hard to do. Because life in New York is so different from life in the North Pole. Everyone is basically a cynic.
There's not much room for singing, is there?
There's not much room. Well, there's not much room for Christmas cheer. Now granted. And, you know, where's my platform? Where's my pedestal? I'm about to get up on it.
Soapbox.
Where's my soapbox? Yes, sir. Okay. Granted, yes, all the stores are pushing these big Christmas specials, these big Christmas deals, making sure everyone's, you know, got the right presents for everyone, but something is still lacking. I should have even gotten this.
That's little, shocking.
That is shocking. Thank you, FCC's very own Will Ferrell. You know, the Santa meter, it hasn't been working for how long?
For quite a while,
and Papa Elf even had to build like a special engine to make up for the lack of genuine Christmas cheer.
That started back in the 60s.
Yes, yes. But, you know, here we are, and the code of the elves, the third code, is that the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Now, Will Ferrell's character, Buddy, he happens to hear singing, and I think it's for the first time that he's actually heard singing in New York.
Oh, good point.
He hears Jovi in the women's locker room. You know, unfortunately, they cut off her water at her apartment, so she's taking a shower in the locker room at the store. She's singing Baby It's Cold Outside. He starts joining in with her, at first quietly, but then, you know, you get to the big finale, and he lets himself be known. She tells him to get out. Well, later, she calls him over to the store and says, "Hey, you know, what are you doing?" He says, "Well,
by the way, I think you have the most beautiful singing voice in the whole wide world."
See, he's been so affected by her singing that, at least for now, a little Christmas cheer has been spread within him. Because he's been missing it. He's been missing
homesick.
Home. Yes, yeah. He is homesick. You got that right. Now, fast forward through all this story that happens, and we find ourselves at Central Park. We find ourselves with Santa, who has crashed in the sleigh. He's in the middle of Central Park. We've got the Central Park Rangers looking out for him. They didn't have enough fun with Simon and Garfunkel at their concert. they got a crash on old Santa's party.
Well, and he put them on the naughty list.
Well, they deserved it. Yeah. You know. You know, and Michael, Buddy's brother, Buddy's human brother, shall I say, he's trying to help out. His buddy's dad has been, you know, finally, he's being turned toward repentance. He's not all the way there just yet. But Michael, Buddy's brother, is trying to stir up some more Christmas cheer. And he thinks the way he can do it best is by reading the list out in public.
Hey, Michael, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. But Buddy, he's in the park with Santa. The sleigh won't fly because there's no Christmas spirit.
Michael!
Mom!
Michael! Are you okay?
I'm fine.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
So Michael's plan is to, you know, get on the news and read everyone's Christmas wishes and, you know, try to stir up a little cheer. Christmas cheer that way.
Yeah.
But then Jovi, she recites the Code of the Elves because of her relationship with Buddy, her friendship with Buddy. And she knows that the best way to spread Christmas cheer is what, Michael?
Sing loud.
Lee.
For all to hear.
Thank you. So, Michael's doing his thing. He's reading the list on the air.
Kids got excited when he would read their name, but it didn't affect the adults. He had to have the adults affected.
Well, it affected the adults, but negatively. Because remember when he read the reporter's wish?
Yes.
She got offended.
How'd you know that?
Who told you to say that? Blah, 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 blah. You know. She jumped down his throat. But the kids, yes, the kids, they were liking it. You know, the little girl who wanted whatever she told Buddy, she said, "Thank you, Buddy."
Yeah.
So the kids, it was working for the kids.
Oh, she believed. How sweet.
Yeah, but it just wasn't enough to get the sleigh back up. And Buddy still wasn't finished with the engine. So Jovi steps up.
Yes. Her big shot.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you're not singing.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Well, that's not the sound clip.
I know, that's all I have.
Oh, darn. Well, here, I'll just read it. So the...
Oh, wait. No, I do. No, I don't. Where is it? Okay, you read it.
Okay. Well, the anchor gets back on TV and she says, well, still no sign of Santa, but some spontaneous Christmas caroling has broken out right here in front of Central Park. Let's have a listen in. And then, of course, everyone is singing, you better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pound. Now, Michael, I'm telling you why.
Why?
Because they're actually feeling Christmas cheer. Some of them for the first time in a long time. Some of them maybe for the first time ever.
Yeah.
The argument could definitely be made for James Caan's character, for Walter Hobbs. I almost forgot his name there. I'm glad I didn't. Thank you, Michael, for reminding me.
Yes.
So
I'm wondering where your sound clip is.
Well, don't worry about it now. Time's passed now.
No.
Time's up over. Blow. Snap back to reality.
Oh, well. Where is it?
Is that it?
I don't know. Here it is. Watch.
Well, still no sign of Santa, but some spontaneous Christmas caroling has broken out right here in front of Central Park. Let's have a listen in.
When you're sleeping, he knows if you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake.
Hey! You better watch out.
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Hey!
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Just a little more. I told you I had it. It just didn't make its way to the sound cart.
Oh, well, there you go. Now, I'm honestly surprised that Bruce Springsteen didn't chime in, you know, this being New York and all. You know, and his version of that song is very rocking.
I don't know.
Very rocking.
Bruce Springsteen.
Good.
Good.
Don't.
Elvis? Bing Crosby.
He's all right. Oh, hey, he's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Blue Eyes. Yeah. I wonder what colors his eyes really were, because every time I see him, they're black and white.
Okay, come on. Get back to Christmas cheer.
That was a good joke.
No.
They were beginning to be felt with Christmas cheer for the first time.
Yeah.
But not only were they being filled themselves, but they were showing everyone else that they were filled by spreading it.
Yes.
And by more singing, by acting on the
letting
faith.
Letting the spirit flow through.
By acting on the faith that they had. And in acting on that faith, they encouraged each other.
Yes.
They stirred each other. They got each other going.
Amen.
And then now we can play that final sound clip where Michael turns to his dad and he says,
hey.
Wait, you're not singing.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You're just moving your lips.
Shut up!
Michael, please, what's the big deal?
Dad?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Now there's some Christmas cheer.
That is when the sleigh blasts off over the crowd into the New York skyline and then on to continue its on its merry little way.
Yes.
And by merry little way, I mean, you know, to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because Santa does it all in one night, I don't want to tell you. Now, what I want to focus on here is in the film, singing could be considered an act of faith.
Yes.
An act showing the faith that you have, and an act of faith that also...
It's a signifier of your faith.
It is. Not only that, but it is a work produced by the faith already in you. That's where I want to look at James.
Ah!
How'd you know it?
Oh!
How'd you know it? James, though, isn't going to be the key verse.
Okay.
But we're just going to, you know, talk about James in light of this. James 2:14-20.
Okay.
There's no chapter 14 in James.
that what, we know of.
What good is it then, brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you do not show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm, eat well, be fed, take care of yourself, you know, whatever you say. But
pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Have a good one. Yeah,
there it is. Are there no prisons? But then yes. You don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do?
It can't save anything. Your kind of faith cannot save anyone. See, that we always like to say, oh, well, that's what he's, you're saying that your works save you. No. That may not be what he's saying. Can't save anyone else. It doesn't do any good for anyone else. If somebody needs help and you don't do anything, what good is your faith? It's no good. It didn't do any good for them. Zero.
Actually, you just made me think of something.
Okay.
I'm going to toss it out and see what you do. When he says save anyone, do we automatically assume he means from spiritual death?
I think yes, because that's how the, oh, well, you're saying that you're saved by works. No. Saying that these other people are saved out of their circumstances by their good works.
Their physical lives. Yes,
their needs are met. That's what James says.
Yes, their physical needs are the ones that need to be met.
And God is very much interested in people's physical well-being. We learned that last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you see, Brother James continues in verse 17.
Let the faith flow.
Let the faith flow.
Yes.
So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and switch out some verbiage here.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, Christmas cheer by itself isn't enough. Christmas cheer, if held back in the North Pole and only the North Pole, isn't good enough. And it becomes dead and useless.
Yes.
Now, someone may argue, we continue in verse 18, but some people have faith and others have good deeds. But I, James, say,
yeah,
how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? Yeah. How can you show me your Christmas cheer, for example, if you're not singing about it, if you're not being joyful about it?
Yes. Preach it, brother.
I will show you my Christmas cheer by my spreading of it.
Yeah.
By my
singing. I'll show you it.
I'll physically show you. I'll show you the physicalness. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Well, good for you. Even the demons in hell believe this.
Yeah.
And they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Can't you see that Christmas cheer being kept to yourself is useless?
Doesn't do anybody any good.
Yes. Can't you see, old Walter Hobbs, that keeping the Christmas cheer away from your family is useless? Oh, man, a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. But that being said, here's my key text.
All right.
1 John chapter 5, 1 through 5. And I'm sure I'll narrow it down to one verse, you know, eventually, but I really like the whole thought that's presented here.
So do I.
Everyone who, and this is the NILT version, everyone, NILT. Everyone who believes in Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, has become a, has become a child.
Oh,
of God.
How about that for a segue?
What a segue. Well, I'm not done yet. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know that we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments.
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
We know that we love God's children if we spread to them Christmas cheer. And the best way we know how. In the movie, it's singing, but for our own reality lives, it's probably going to mean something different. I would dare say something a little bit more.
That's shocking.
Maybe taking care of physical needs. Oh, there I go again. I better stop.
Brendan's hitting hard this
week. And obey his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome.
No.
What does it take to... Yeah, I mean, yeah, singing is one thing. But think of old Fezziwig. I'm just going to throw it out there, Michael.
Get
ready.
Okay.
Think of old Fezziwig back in A Christmas Carol.
Yes.
For the festivities that he threw during Christmas time that anyone was invited to. Yep. Strangers off the street if they wanted to.
And it was nothing to him.
I think just because of the play, I still got the line memorized. It was a few pounds of your mortal money.
Yes.
Is that so much that he deserves this praise that you're giving him? We can stretch out the Christmas Carol all throughout. Yes. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
His commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. The faith that is emboldened when we spread it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll leave it there. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen, brother.
So it's all about, I mean, yeah, having your own faith is good, but you got to let that faith be spread.
Okay.
You got to share it. You got to, okay, go ahead. I know I'm going to start repeating myself.
No. So you are sitting on your
double-decker couch
with your friend or loved one, and you're watching Elf, and you're just rolling and laughing and enjoying the merriment and the well-mannered frivolity.
We're slamming each other through Lego skyscrapers.
Yes. What do we point out?
You point out the Christmas cheer.
Yeah.
And the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing.
That little maxim.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud.
Yes.
For all to hear.
Yes. The best way to spread God's love is to love others.
There you go.
Wow.
It's to show that love to other people.
Yeah.
To show it by taking care of their physical needs.
Oh, you know what? Brendan, that ties in. So many things that you say always tie into what I'm going to say
That's why I like going first.
We have that neural handshake.
Yeah.
And drift compatible, all that good stuff. Christian unity, moving in the same direction. Anything else?
No, I'm in and out, baby.
First of all, I have to say that I think it's genius. Absolute. I mean, it's the height of genius. I didn't understand that Jon Favreau was this type of genius, that he was able to use this movie to show how Stanley Kubrick faked the moon landings. All in this Christmas movie. Wow. You know, and Stanley Kubrick couldn't tell anybody, and that caused a lot of great angst in him, and Jon Favreau was trying to relieve a little bit of that pressure. I hope that it worked because Stanley Kubrick was still alive at this time, I believe, wasn't he? Anyway, so it's another one of those movies, man, conspiracy theorist. But other than that, I'm titling my segment here, I Love God's Kingdom. It's my favorite. Or, whoever doesn't welcome his kingdom like a child is a
cotton-headed ninny muggins.
That's right. This is a throwback. This movie is a throwback for me to Forrest Gump, as well as the Lego movie, because that is two movies where God's foolishness is wiser than the wisdom of man, you know? Mm-hmm. And we'll touch on another verse that goes along with that. So, friends, you want to go back and listen to our episode on Forrest Gump. That was like episode number 60, I believe. And you want to go way back in the vaults and listen to our episode on the Lego movie. And then that way you'll have a trifecta about silliness, foolishness, changing lives.
Oh, man.
And the power that's in there. And one thing, you know, you talked about Buddy and, raised as an elf. This is a neat little thing. This is just an aside. This is extra. I'm not charging anybody for this. Look at Buddy's changed nature. Okay, he was a human that is counted as an elf.
Mm-hmm.
Santa told him so in Central Park. He is positionally an elf. Says you are the, you are the most capable elf.
Are you saying that it doesn't matter what Buddy really is?
Yeah.
Santa is the main arbiter.
Yes.
And if Santa says Buddy is an elf,
yes,
then Buddy,
yes,
is an elf.
Just like God calls us, adopts us as his children, and in Christ, so that though we are still human, though we are still in our flesh, and as we walk this earth, we will sin, we are positionally righteous because of the blood that covers us, covers our sin. So that's a neat little picture there. That's just that's a freebie. You can throw that in real easy.
There you go.
Especially when you get to Central Park and Santa goes to Buddy, I need you. I need only an elf can fix this problem. I'm not an elf. Of course you are. Of course you are. There isn't anybody with more Christmas spirit than you, Buddy. You are in the sight of Santa. Buddy is an elf. Oh man, I love that. That, you know, gave me goosebumps. Because again, I watch all these movies through Christian lenses, so I see things like that. Now, getting back in time, when Buddy learns that, you know, I'm not an elf physically by birth. I'm a human. And finds out, but he finds out he has a dad that he never knew about. And he lives in this magical city called, New York City, in this magical land called New York City. And he works at the Empire State Building. Santa has got to break something to Buddy. I got to tell you something, Buddy.
Your father, well, he's on the naughty list.
No!
And to Buddy, what could be worse than being on the naughty list? What happens when you're on the naughty list? You don't get any presents. Mm-mm. Okay, you don't get any of God's gifts, not his good gifts. You get rain, and you get sunshine, and you get, you know, the ground is going to produce, crops and things like everybody gets. But you don't get the really good stuff, you know?
You get Krampus.
You know, sometimes you get a lump of coal. You know, you don't get the good stuff, all the good things that Santa wants to bring. Well, Buddy's dad, he doesn't get any of those things. And so Buddy obviously is distraught about that, but Santa has some words of comfort for him.
Some people, they just lose sight of what's important in life. That doesn't mean they can't find their way again, huh? Maybe all they need is just a little Christmas spirit.
Yeah! Well, I'm good at that.
You, I know you are.
Yes, you are, buddy. And that ties right into what you just told us.
Yeah.
Some people just lost their way. They need a Christian to come and do good deeds. And do good deeds. Right? Okay, so now, buddy, Santa just gave me a mission. He knows I'm going down there, told me my dad's on the naughty list, but he just needs somebody to come and give him, you know, spread some Christmas cheer, some good deeds. Let's get your dad back on track. You know why? Because I want to bring him good things, is what Santa is saying. That reminds me a lot of our God, who want to give you good things. We talked a little bit about that last episode. Again, going back to A Christmas Carol, he could have given up on Scrooge. He could have given up on Jonah. I'm not giving up. Why? You said it. Because I want you. I have things for you. Mm-hmm. I have good gifts that I want to give you. That's, man, what an awesome God we have. But you know, so Buddy goes down and he's spreading, you know, he's being Buddy and he's Christmas and he loves smiling is his favorite and everything's got to be, sugar and you know, you like sugar? Is there sugar in maple syrup? Yes. Then yes, I love sugar. Yeah. Okay. And then he enters into a relationship with his younger brother, getting to know him, finally gets past the ice that his brother was mm-hmm. giving off, because here's Buddy, this weirdo guy, he's a fool. And he's all spectacle, mm-hmm. right? This foolish spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. And so anyway, they're having a good time. They are bonding now, and they're jumping on mattresses in the bed store or whatever. And then they're in the elevator, jumping up on the elevator and trying to get it to go down or whatever fun that they're having. And Buddy says, I wish Dad was with us. Michael says, why? Because he's the best dad in the whole world. And Michael says, no, he's not. He's the worst dad. Well, what do you mean?
All he does is work.
Working's fun.
Not the way he does it. All he cares about is money. He doesn't care about you or me or anybody.
Well, he is on the naughty list.
Right. Now we see that Walter Hobbs is a bit of a Scrooge himself, mm-hmm. hearkening back to the last episode. Mm-hmm. We got a 1-2 punch going on here.
Yeah.
And all, he doesn't care about anybody else. All he cares about is money, to the detriment of his family, so much so that his young son would verbally, audibly say, no, he's the worst dad. It's not the he's the exact opposite of the best dad. Wow, that's heavy duty. But Buddy already knows this. Well, he is on the naughty list. And that's why he's on the naughty list. That's what Santo is talking about when he says some people have lost their way. Yep. And Walter Hobbs has let the love of money become the root of all sorts of evil. And that doesn't mean axe murder. It means that he has neglected and abandoned his family mm-hmm. for all intent and purposes. But that's okay, because we have Buddy here. We have Buddy. And he can learn so much from Buddy, Walter can. And he fights that all the whole movie. But see, Buddy, with that Christmas cheer, he can see, we talked about this in your addendums at the beginning of the show, he can see falsehood a mile away, mm-hmm. and he sees it in this fake Santa. This fake Santa. You're not Santa. Yes, I am. Oh, if you're Santa, then what song did I sing for you at your birthday last year?
Happy birthday,
of course. Oh, he got me. But he's not having any of it.
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar. Let the kid talk. You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh? No, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're gonna have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay.
Oh! He's an imposter! He's a fake!
See, Buddy, in all of his foolish spectacle, he knows Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Intimately. And that's the picture that you get there. He knows what Santa smells like. He knows a fake Santa a mile away, and he's not going to have anything to do with it. That is the, he right there is separating. He's a worker of God. He's separating the wheat from the tares.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, you are an imposter, as a matter of fact. And why is that? It's because like a good lamb, a good member of the flock, he can hear Santa's voice, just like we can hear Jesus's voice. John 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Powerful. So all this stuff is going on at we're going to back up just a bit. All this stuff's going on at Gimbel's, right? And they're getting ready for, and I love the boss, the guy that's in.
Oh yeah, they must have sent a professional.
We should have given a shout out to that guy. I'm going to use it again. There's my favorite adjective. Phenomenal, great acting, funny, great timing. I love that guy. Anyway, so the next morning, Santa's coming, and we heard it in the trailer, so I didn't use it here. What'd Buddy do? Santa. Yeah, I know him. I know him.
Mm-hmm.
My sheep listen to my voice, Jesus says. I know them, and they follow me. So it's closing time. Get the announcement over the intercom. And Jovi says, well, I got to go home. And Buddy says, but Santa's coming. There's so much to do. Now, this goes back to your discussion. Is this legalism? There's so much to do. Santa's coming. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon, many will meet their doom.
Them trumpets will surely sound.
Okay. So, there's much to do. Have I done enough? Have I done enough to merit heaven?
Doesn't this sound like that Theonauts episode?
Tell me.
Mulligan.
Yeah.
Mulligan.
Man.
Excuse me. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Doesn't this sound like our sister show?
The Theonauts!
On their special episode, which I'm currently looking up on their website right now.
Uh-huh.
But Michael, I do believe it was one that you left feedback that spurred the episode. not in response to the episode, but actually
spurred
the episode.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Yes. Theonauts episode 71.
Yes, go back and listen to that episode. So, but Santa's coming. There's so much to do. We have to do stuff. Is that legalism, Brendan? Or is that love?
Well, it depends on who you ask, but it should be love.
But we don't even have to preface that when it comes to Buddy and his in regard to Santa. It exactly. is absolute love. There's much to do. Goes back to your James, okay? Faith without works is dead. Okay? It doesn't do any good. It doesn't, if your faith doesn't pass the borders of your mind or your heart and does not get outside of your body, it's no good. It's no good. And he's not saying that we need to do so much because Santa's coming because he's afraid. He's doing it because he loves. We love him because he first loved us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was a little freebie there too. Now, when it gets back, now, when we get to the end, we're nearing the catharsis. Now, finally, after all of this stuff, Walter boots Buddy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of the infamous, you know, you're an angry elf scene in the office. Get out of here. I don't care if you're crazy. I don't care if you're my son. I don't ever want to see you again. But he repents, makes a 180-degree turn, and finally, as Michael and Walter are out looking on Christmas Eve for Buddy, Walter finds him in Central Park.
I need to tell you something.
I know, Buddy, there's something I have to tell you right now. I didn't mean anything I said back there, not a word. I know you may be a little chemically imbalanced, but you've been right about a lot of things. I don't want you to leave. You're my son, and I love you.
Reconciliation. You're my son, and I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He sees past Buddy's, quote, foolish spectacle, unquote. And it reminds me of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians about he and the other apostles. And this is very deep, and it's emotional, and it's him bearing his soul, and it's just the fact of the matter. For I think, Paul says, I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all as men condemned to die, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to people. We are fools for Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished. We are dishonored. He sees that this spectacle and foolishness of Buddy, he says, you were right about a lot of things. You have taught me. You have taught me. You have convicted me. You have spread your Christmas cheer to me. And Buddy's dad meets Santa in Central Park. It's so you're Santa. I mean, mm-hmm. Could you imagine? You're Santa. Yeah, I am. And my son is an elf. Yes, he is. And that harkens back to, you know, he's positionally an elf. He's a special person. He's one of Santa's very own.
Yes.
Right? My son's an elf. Yes. And you know what? We can let's go ahead and stretch credulity. Santa's also telling Walter at that point, you can be my elf too. You can be my elf too. I need your Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
Because it is Walter's Christmas spirit. It is his singing that was the final
blow to the lack of
Christmas. Yeah, Christmas spirit flying that.
Yes.
That sleigh. And he comes out of the woods of the park, finds his wife. What does he say? He wasn't lying. It's all true. Santa is there. Buddy is an elf. He led me to Santa. because of his foolish spectacle, because of his kindness, because of his childlikeness. Key text, Mark chapter 10, verse 15. You know what? Let me read a few, and then I'll pull out what it is. Mark 10, verse 13 through 16 out of the Common English Bible. People were bringing children to Jesus so that he would bless them, but the disciples scolded them. When Jesus saw this, he grew angry and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children. I assure you that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it." Then he hugged the children and blessed them. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so beautiful. What a beautiful God that we serve. Verse 15 is your key text. So when you are sitting on your
double-decker couch
with Chris Pratt watching Lord Biznacci business and all that good stuff, all you have to do is remember this one verse. I assure you, Jesus said, that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it. I've always had a hard time understanding what that meant exactly. What's he saying? What exactly is he saying? Until I came across a picture yesterday, and we posted it on the GCTN Instagram page, and I went to the GCT Network Facebook page and all that stuff, and it's of these four young boys diving into a lake, jumping into a lake. Think of the lake as the kingdom of God. Think of that lake as Christmas spirit, or Christmas if you want to. And these boys, on a hot summer day, you couldn't keep them from jumping into that lake. You couldn't prevent them from it. So that's why the Common English Bible hits it on the head. I assure you, Jesus said, that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child, not can't enter it, they just won't. Mm-hmm. They will not. It's their will that prevents them from doing it. So we have to become like a child. We have to see the wonder. We have to be willing to be spectacles and fools for Jesus. And then we can, nobody will, if you have that, nobody can stop you from jumping into that lake. Mm-hmm. And those boys in that picture, their moms could have been standing, you know, 20 yards away saying, "Don't you jump in that lake." I don't hear it.
Oh, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I couldn't hear you.
You can't keep me.
I was too busy jumping in the lake.
Yes, I was too busy entering the kingdom of God. That's what this movie taught me. And it's a great picture to share with your friends. Man, look at Buddy. Man, this movie's embarrassing. But look at what he does. Look at what he does. He brings Walter Hobbs to Santa. Leads him right to him. He brings Walter to the place where Walter, you couldn't keep him from jumping into it. When Michael says, "You're not singing." You know, maybe he's just a little bit embarrassed about his singing voice. That's very possible. But when Michael pointed that out to him, you couldn't have stopped Walter Hobbs from singing at mm-hmm. that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's repentance, isn't it? It's a beautiful, beautiful message in this movie for Christians to share the gospel with their friends and loved ones. Do you have any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Shoot, no, man. You got it.
Well, then, listeners, what Christian themes did you find while watching Will Ferrell in Elf? There's plenty of them, just like so many other movies that we watched. We could have talked about that. We could have talked about that and this and that and focused on that. Let us know. So we'll give you all the ways to contact us here shortly at the end of the episode here. But in the meantime, Brendan, we have a little bit of feedback. So let's go to...
Who goes there? It is I.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
No, not Francisco. It's patron Saint Philip is going to take us to King Philip's stables. He left a comment on our last episode, Christmas Carol, Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 82. This was on our website. Says, great write-up, Brendan.
Thank you. Thank you.
See, there's a man that's not too critical. You can learn a lot from Philip, patron Saint Philip. All right.
I intend to.
All right. It is my favorite direct adaptation, and I also love Doctor Who's Christmas Carol episode. A great one to look up. I think the animation was so good at depicting the fantastic elements of the story, and it's cool to think Dickens published it way back in 1843, the year of our Lord, 1843. That's my own interjection. Is it just me, or did Jim Carrey's Scrooge sound a lot like David Wenham of Faramir fame? Faramir, Lord of the Rings.
Remind me?
He's Boromir's brother, Faramir.
So, oh, the king that he was, he the one that was getting sick and sick and sick?
No.
Sorry. See, I'm sorry. It's been a while. Michael, please don't do that.
I'm sad. I'm fighting back tears. That's what I'm doing.
I'm just going to look at Faramir. Okay. I'm just going to solve this right now.
And my Harry Potter casting suggestion. Yay! Hey, all right. Interjection. He's hopping in. Hopping on board here with the game. We didn't do that for this episode.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do
that. Okay.
That's okay.
Back to his comment. And my Harry Potter casting suggestion would be Brendan Gleeson as Scrooge, aged up, of course. Hey, I think we talked about that off air. I think we might have said Mad-Eye Moody.
I can't remember if we did or not.
I don't know. I don't remember either. Okay, getting back to Philip here. Says, I like the recurring theme of kindness leading to repentance this year. And that has been a recurring theme.
Mm-hmm.
And it also makes me think of Proverbs 15, verse 1, out of the New King James Version. Quote, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, unquote. Having a restrained response is so helpful when disagreeing with somebody, and leaves room for coming together on a subject. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wise words there. Continues. One last thing on the Wachowskis. Speed Racer is a fun, weird, humorous adaptation of the classic anime, and actually only PG. The special effects are well done, and it's pretty family-friendly, in my opinion. It has a good cast as well. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
No, me neither.
I remember when it came out, though, and it looked really cool.
Okay.
So,
thanks for the show, guys. Bring on Elf! Hashtag
MovieLad Gimlet!
And we brought on Elf. I hope that we did it justice.
I hope so, too.
For everybody out there. Any other feedback? Phil, he said something in here that made me think. Oh, yeah. Patron Saint Ron said he loves the Harry Potter cast as game.
Oh, okay,
so we got to remember that. We might have to put that on our template here.
Now,
so
now let me ask you this: Do we want to reserve it for the big movies?
Yeah, I don't think that we should abuse that.
Yeah,
I think that's
not every time.
It's too delicate.
It'll come back. You know, don't worry. Maybe for I don't know, Ant-Man.
Well-mannered frivolity.
What's been going on with you?
Oh, well, Michael, the Christmas show is out the dough.
Whoa!
We are done.
All done.
We're done.
A rousing success.
Oh, yeah.
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 See, Mr.
Give me that.
A couple of more weeks of practice couldn't help.
Y'all know what it's like being a creative type. You just overthink your stuff and you worry yourself about it.
I never do. Ask my wife.
That is a bold statement, sir.
In a bold-faced lie.
There you go. Okay. All right.
So, yeah. I mean, what a neat thing. Where did you get the idea to do that dinner theater, one-act play, entertainment, and one-act play? Where did you get that idea?
Well, we had always done
dinner. Is this Greek?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm sure they did stuff like it, but really, we've always done dinner theater as part of, you know, the Christmas time production at the Fly.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't really matter if the play was Christmassy or not. We just always did dinner theater with it. And this year, well, last year, the play had nothing to do with Christmas. So this year we wanted to try to, you know, instead of, you know, doing something like that, we kind of just wanted to make it to where it was, people were already familiar with it. You know, like we had two different Christmas stories. One was Scrooge's Christmas. The other was Gift of the Magi. And we just, we wanted to really just do the best at what we thought were classics.
Yeah. What are you going to do next year?
I don't know yet.
What? How can you not know?
Don't know yet. We're still...
It's a Wonderful Life?
Oh, I wish. I wish. If we could find a good script for it.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can. I've been in a production before. I don't know. We're still looking, though. We're still
okay. Looking. So it's a good experience. It turned out all well.
Yeah.
The crowds loved it. You got plenty of accolades. Good job, Brendan. All that good stuff. Hey, we have another production going on over here at the Mac. Coming up this weekend, I do believe. Jingle Bell Jukebox, which my number three of my children is involved in. Maddie, she's 12. Maddie. Yep. And
or Snow Leopard, as she's known to the other theater kids in Shelbyville.
And so I went to their one of their dress rehearsals the other night, the one where they would let parents come in and videotape or photography and all that good stuff, take pictures and looking forward to that. And it's, so it's got a 50s theme, you know, wearing a poodle skirt with bells on, you know, Christmas 50s and
yeah.
You know, so looking for, she's got these fake cat eye glasses. I love Maddie because she's awesome. And she wears glasses everywhere. She doesn't wear glasses. She doesn't need glasses, but she wears like 3D movie theater glasses with the lenses popped out. Everywhere to church, she's sitting in. But she got for this performance, she got some cool cat eye glasses with lenses in them. You know, just non-prescription, of course.
No.
And so she can. So I'm so proud of my little 50s girl there,
Catty Maddie.
What else is going
Catty
on,
Maddie? Well, you know, with the Christmas show being over with, I've got all this free time, right?
Yeah.
So I've been basically, I've just been going on Google Play. And just catching up on stuff.
Writing Monday movie reviews.
No. Oh, I got it. Well, once I see a new movie, besides Hunger Games. I mean, it's okay. But so I don't know. Just watching some movies. I watched a Neil Simon movie. Are you familiar with Neil Simon? American playwright, known for his comedies.
No, I mean, I know of him, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, he wrote The Odd Couple.
Oh, well, that's why I know of him,
yes. Yeah, I mean, the stage play was the foundation for the TV show.
Yes.
So, I was watching some Neil Simon movies, especially Lost in Yonkers.
Yes, yes.
Very, very good movie. And then I got to catch up on something that I had missed because of a performance.
Christmas.
No.
Thanksgiving?
No. The Wiz.
Oh,
live.
So yeah, they're doing that
on NBC, I believe it
so
was.
So that has, that's Diana Ross and Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Nope,
and
new cast.
What?
New cast.
Oh, they got new people.
Yep.
Oh,
yep. And what? The new cast is pretty dang good.
Okay.
Especially with David Alan Greer.
Whoa!
As the Cowardly Lion.
Say no more.
Yes. Okay. Michael, I'm just going to tell you. I knew he would be good at acting.
He's awesome.
I did not know your boy could sing.
Ah.
And David Alan Greer won my heart over with the song Be a Lion.
Wow.
Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
That's my freebie for the episode. But I've also started a new book, too.
What's that?
And it'll be a short book.
Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring?
No.
Oh,
no.
No?
I needed something quick that I could finish.
Okay.
I know I'm going to finish within a week. And that's another Lee Strobel.
Oh, book. Which one?
Oh, the one
the case for
hope.
Oh,
the case for hope, which apparently was supposed to come out the same time that the case for grace came out, but he still had some other stories to fit in there, so he withheld that one, went ahead and published the case for grace, but now the case for hope has finally been, you know,
wonderful
published. So I'm catching that up on Audible.
And not then, a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. And then, you know, just to satiate Michael, I'll start Fellowship of the Ring.
And the heavens will open up and all the angels will start singing and...
I like to whisper too.
Oh, well, I wasn't whispering. Gosh.
Maybe you should have.
I don't know, whatever. Okay. What did I have? Oh, yes, 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 yes. I've been telling you for the last couple of episodes, I've been working on this video for the Victory for Families Foundation, which is the foundation that funds the family counseling centers here in southern Middle Tennessee. And finally got that done. And it really bit into a bunch of my time. There's a lot of things I'm behind on the network here, posting videos and all kinds of things. But anyway, we did that, and I had just a crazy, crazy day being invited to this luncheon where they showed the video. And well, anyway, if we're friends on Facebook, you know, just go to my page and you'll see the pictures that I posted from this luncheon and the video that that I produced for them. And but some really I want this is why I'm saying this. I would like, this is a prayer request. So anybody that is listening, please pray for the Great Commission Transmission Network, because there may be some opportunities that come out of this that will greatly help us with our ministry here. So that we can grow and that we can expand and that we can further travel the internet highways and byways, planting the seed of the gospel, encouraging Christians, equipping Christians to go out and fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Please keep the Great Commission Transmission Network in your prayers. Ask that God blesses it and allows us to move forward. And to move forward in a big way. Anything else well-mannered frivolity, Brendan?
Oh, no. We're ready for a lightning round. Oh, excuse me.
The lightning round! I got one.
Oh, about time.
And if you were tuned in before the show today, before we started recording, I had was playing some nice Christmas music. I was revisiting my station from last year. It's not often that I go to music streaming services, because I have a very extensive music collection of my own, and you know, I pretty much have what I want to hear. And so, however, on Pandora, not a sponsor, Pandora Radio, look up Christmas traditional radio. Okay, so it is Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, Etta James, you know, Burl Ives, Perry Como, Dean Martin, mm-hmm. you know, all Andy Williams, all
Mel Torme,
all the people that you would expect to live. In fact, all the people, many of the people that you heard while watching Elf. In yes. fact, when I turned it on, when I turned on the cameras, I'm waiting for Brendan to show up to the studio. I said, oh, I'll just put on some Christmas music for anybody that tunes in. And the first song was, the album cover was the Elf soundtrack.
There you go.
And so there you go. That's my lightning round. Hip tip, get Pandora, look up Christmas traditional radio, and enjoy.
Now, if you need a fresh breath from Christmas music, although, let's be honest, who needs that?
Yeah.
Not somebody who's been listening to Christmas music since September because he's directing a show. But say you do just want a break, or you just want to listen to good music in general, your boy has been liking some Gordon Lightfoot lately. And your boy recently just found his Live in Reno concert on YouTube.
That's shocking.
It is shocking. I didn't know it was there. And unfortunately, there's not one, it's not one long concert, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour video, but each song that he does in the concert is listed in the Gordon Lightfoot Vivo page, you know,
yeah.
Vivo normally for music videos. Well, you know, big surprise, Gordon Lightfoot was around long before music videos were. So what his Vivo page has done has taken that concert, footage from that concert, and as cleaned it up nicely for you. The audio
spliced it up
nice and crisp, and you just enjoy the concert. I've had it on a playlist for a good time, for a good while.
Does
now.
It put a smile on your face?
It does.
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Oh, me too.
Wonderful. Okay, and Brendan, what is coming up next week? Well, are we going to do?
As you already said, we're halfway through the Christmas season
now. I love this month of FCC.
Next week we've got the Santa Claus. Which
Tim Allen?
Yes. Which came out the same year my sister was born, I believe, in '94. Is that
let
is that what it is?
The spirit flow through you.
Yes.
Yes. The Christmas. Spirit.
And then the week after that, the week of Christmas. Spirit. Yeah. The week of Christmas.
Uh-huh.
I hope it's white outside, because how appropriate, we're covering White Christmas.
One of my very favorites.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Yeah.
and then, of course, the week after that will be the week of New Year's.
Yes.
And what do we do at the end of the old year? We count down. So that week will be our 2015 year-end countdown episode.
Hey, jump on board. Any listeners out there, if you have a suggestion, make your own list of the films that we have talked about, covered. What are the best ones for sharing the gospel?
Okay, now, Michael, let me ask you this. Do you want to do it like we did last year?
Do you? I don't know. I don't know if you've done enough MMRs.
Oh, I think I have.
Oh, okay.
I think I have. The way we did it last year, just to fill you guys in, is I did my list based on the Monday movie reviews that I put out, and Michael did his list on the movies we covered specifically on the podcast.
See, because if we both did top 10 movies podcast episodes,
we'd get the same thing.
Well, no, because then we start arguing, and what we would have had to have done was come up with that ahead of time and have the listeners vote on it.
Oh yeah,
for that to work. Yeah, so true. I guess we still not gotta.
Let's stick with what we know.
All right. I'll choose five of the best podcasts that we've done, the movies that are best for sharing the gospel, listeners. So it doesn't have to be the best movie. Just got to be the best movies for sharing the gospel.
With that purpose. Yeah.
Yes, with that purpose. And yours will be?
The movies from the Monday movie review with that
okay.
selecting
that
process.
That same caveat.
Yes.
All right. So, yes. Top five movie reviews, top five podcasts.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
And then after New Year's starts, we're gonna hit January running.
Yeah.
With Ant-Man.
Hey, I just got it the other day. We watched it, sat down for a family movie night. Yeah. And oh, yeah. Well, I saw it at the theaters.
That's right. You saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that movie. I love the soundtrack. And it's going to be a fun movie to cover.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then from there on, we have some other things planned ahead. We also have a special episode coming up in January.
That's right.
Oh, and you know what? I'll give a tease. We're going to introduce a new member of the team here, talking about a brand new show that will be debuting, Lord willing, the very beginning of February of 2016 here on the Great Commission Transmission Network. You do not want to miss anything that's coming up. And to find out all the stuff that's coming up, you want to be here. Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us for video. It's live, or especially the chat room, using the chat room and video players at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone.
That's shocking.
To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. To witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational ministry, including all 83 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday movie review, and links to all of our social media profiles, visit our website at christincinema.com.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
Now, if you want to send us an email, you just shoot those over to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
If you want to call us up on the voice line, which we now have, by the way.
I like to whisper, too.
Oh, and
we love when you call on the voice line.
Yes, we do.
You can call us at 507-407-4286. Now, if you prefer letters on your phones,
yes,
you can try this number. Sometimes it's a little wonky, but other times it usually works.
Yeah.
507-407-GCTN.
Yes.
How nifty.
Cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Is that. Now, let's just say you want to listen to the podcast.
I do.
But the air got to it.
Oh, no.
The air got to it.
And you don't like falafel.
I don't like falafel.
But you love duct tape.
Love duct tape.
You can go to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, and you can go to TuneIn Radio. Searching them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
the Theonauts!
Get over to the official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
It was tied to an anvil.
Cotton-headed ninny muggins.
And that is a wrap.
I don't understand.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
I thought my jokes were bad.
That's shocking.
Oh, yes,
you gotta keep regular if you want to be
happy. Great Scott!
Francisco,
I need to tell you.
That's fun to say.
Eddie, there's something I have to tell you right now.
Okay, what is it?
I like to whisper too.
Oh, and we're looking for our friend Ron Potatoes.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission
at GCTnetwork.com.
Time for an announcement.
Okay.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him.